And once again, we thank you for the bounty of your grace. You are never depleted when we come into your presence to draw from you. And so even tonight, we come with desires. We come for the need of a fresh supply of your Spirit. And we ask that you take us from the gate into your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. We were looking at a scripture yesterday, and that scripture is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 18. We will look upon it afresh, and we'll take off from that point. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 18. Isaiah 26, verse 18. The Bible says, "We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind," right? "We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth." If not that it was wind that they were carrying, they were pregnant with, their life should have been able to wrought deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world would have fallen by their efforts. Men that walk in faith are men that do great things by the Spirit of God. Once upon a time, I was praying, I was fasting, and I was asking God for help, because for a long time we were on the same spot in ministry, and it was as if we lacked what it took to make us break forth to the new level. And so I decided to sign out from the pulpit and to go in search of God. Because our case was almost like a case of inability. We had arrived at a point, and it was impossible for us to go beyond that point. So I was troubled, and I went to seek the face of God. Prayed, fasted, and we did all the kind of things we know how to do, until the Lord now appeared. And he gave me two words. He said, "If you say you are a giant, then take giant steps." Now, we are talking about, you see, if it is not wind that you are carrying, then you should be able to rot deliverance in the earth. If it's not wind that you are carrying, then the inhabitants of the land must be displaced by your arrival. And God spoke to me and he said, "If you say you are a giant, then take giant steps." So what God was saying to me was that you have not taken steps. These steps we are talking about are not steps that are taken out of the flesh, but enablements of God that are backed up by His Spirit. And the resultant effect of operating this way is that there will be deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the land will fall. Do you understand what happened to Israel when Goliath came and he was boasting, cursing Israel, cursing the gods of Israel, and there was nothing in Israel that could stand against him? The giants of Israel was there. Saul was the giant of Israel, because in describing him, the Bible said that he was taller from the shoulder. He was a shoulder higher than every child of Israel. So that was the giant of Israel. He was right there when the Philistines mocked against Israel and mocked against her God. But there was none of them in the camp that had the ability to confront. See, that confrontation is not bold faith. The works of faith, the mighty acts of faith, is not because we want to make a name. Because if you go out in the flesh, the devil will disappoint you. So God spoke to me and he said, "If you claim you are a giant, then take giant steps. Deliverance must be wrought in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world must fall." So my little piece this evening is to show us what is needed for you to take giant steps. Indeed, we took giant steps subsequently. The first giant step we had to take was to go out to IBB Square for Festival of Glory. By the time the logistics team came with the budget of what it would take to move the entire Calvary to the IBB Square for the event, it was obvious that we did not have the capacity to prosecute that, an evangelistic outreach at that scale. Hallelujah. But I know that God has spoken to me. It was like a challenge. If you say you are a giant, then take giants. That was the first step I was confronted with. Meanwhile, before the day of that crusade, that first crusade we held, 15 years ago, God had spoken to me in an encounter, and he had told me about Festival of Glory. So it was not as if God did not speak. But I was becoming impotent. And the reason was because there was a faith deficiency. So we want to go to the faith clinic just in case there is a defect on your faith. There is a possibility to work on it, to treat it, so that you can get back on course with destiny and with God. The bills kept coming. We said we were going for Festival of Glory. We had enough money to do the publicity materials. And everybody knew there was a crusade. And then when we began to prepare for the crusade, it now occurred to me that they have not paid salaries in Benue State for 11 months. Hallelujah. So while I was worrying about the fact that the economy was in deficit, and I took that to God as a prayer item, he now said, I think he got angry. He said, don't take offering in that crusade. Don't. Because you are considering the economy, considering the added instruction for the crusade is don't take offering for that edition of the crusade. But I didn't know how to tell the leaders. I used the excuse that there was no salary for 11 months. So we will not take offering this time. But it was my own belief. And God wanted to cure me of unbelief permanently. So normally a minister will feel that, okay, in order for us to run and take care of administrative issues, and the offering aspect of the service might help us out. But you and I know, those of you that have been into ministry, the offering that comes from here cannot fuel the generator for the next service. The offering that will come today, if maybe next week we'll take an inventory and say, okay, this generator costs this offering. And then he compounded the matter by saying, don't take offering. So my explanation to the leaders was, there are no salaries for 11 months. So let's have pity. Let us bless the people and not expect them to give us anything. Many people say this thing is not God. I said, let's try that. I was trying to get myself ready for a giant step. Now, this was how God cured me of my infirmity, because it was a terrible infirmity that was going to make me plateau at a certain level, and that will become my terminus. When God is still speaking, God is still saying, I want to do stuff, and then you have a faith deficiency, you cannot cope with God's speed, you cannot cope with the Spirit's motion. There are several things that God can do if you let him, to heal your deficient faith life. Come with me to the book of Hebrews. You need faith to do that thing that God is saying you will do. Prof, you need faith. You need faith. What God is telling you? You need faith. You need faith too. All right. Let's see Hebrews chapter 11. Then we'll proceed from there. You need faith. And that's the message. When you left my office yesterday, that's the message the Lord said I should tell you. You need faith to prosecute his counsel. So I'm preaching this message to you. Hallelujah. This was how God helped me. I was so used to calculating things. When you come, we want to do a project, we'll calculate and say, okay, do we have enough? If we don't have enough, let's postpone it. Then I found out that there were many things we postponed that was not God's will. For all to have pushed it forward, it was because I was deficient in faith. And I recognized eventually that the ailment of lack of faith became a challenge. And when God wanted to help me, he said, what? If you say you are a giant, then you do what? Take chances. All right, let's see. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 11. Right, this, just for the records, let's start with 32. Before I jump to my place of emphasis, this was what men were able to do without faith, with faith. He said, what shall I more say, for time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets. He said, time will fail me. If you begin to walk by faith, you will not have sufficient time to tell testimonies. Your life will be from one action to another action that is mind-blowing because you are no longer operating with the currency of human intelligence and human capacity. So your life will be a full library of exploits. He said, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. All was by faith. So if what we have in our spirit man is not winged, mighty exploits should follow our faith. Mighty exploits should be the result. So just like me, I found out that so many of us are deficient in our faith capacity. And God put me through a diet. He put me through some intensive care to help build my faith. And He put me in circumstances that it is only by faith I will be able to survive it, so as to help my faith capacity. And the moment my faith was helped beyond the level I was, exploits began on another level. And so you can be in ministry and you come to a level and you begin to plateau. Whenever you discover that you are beginning to plateau, it's an indication of the fact that that's how far your faith could carry. God will need to do some work on your heart to increase your capacity to believe, because the just shall live by his faith. All right, my scripture of emphasis is this. This was one of the ways God began to cure me. The experience that Moses had was the initial therapeutic delivery that God administered to me to heal my faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23 to 27. Hebrews 11, 23 to 27. I'm here to challenge you this year, so that you can have courage to step into what God has been offering you for so long a time. Hallelujah. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the commandments of the king. By faith, Moses, when he was come of 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The identity that the circumstances and the situation wanted to confer upon him, when it came of age, he rejected it. The circumstance intends to impose upon you an identity. It's okay, we are like this because we are in Karimo. We are like this because we are from Logo local government. People don't rise from there. But you can hide under that deception. But the Bible says that when Moses came of age, he cast off every false identity of himself. All of these things he did by faith. That identity of himself that was deceptive, that he cast away, that activity of casting it away was a function, a description of faith. So it will take faith for you to be bold enough to sustain the identity that God has given you in spite of circumstances and situations. It's easy for you to come to the pulpit and preach and say, God is a great God, and not believe it. So that's why we preachers sometimes, you need to sit down and hear other people preach to you. Then you just find out that you became a professional preacher, but your walk with God is defective. You will lack the ability to do great things if your faith life is sick. So the first thing that Moses did by faith was that he threw off the wrong identity that circumstances conferred upon him. He was willing to sustain the identity that he received from God about himself.
When my dad died, the people that, because he was the head of the family when he was alive, so when he died, the people that took over the leadership of the family had no priority for godliness because they were not sons of God. When he was alive, it was difficult for you to see someone mock someone else because that person had convictions about God. But when he died, the entire texture of the family layout had changed so terribly that a relative of mine who is called Emeke's God is palm wine. Before you wake up in the morning, he has taken some snaps and he's already drunk. He's already doing like at 8 o'clock, he's already sounding like this. Ene no more! Emeke had more honor in his drunken state than those of us that preach the gospel. There was an unwritten law that was operational in the landscape that will want to make you forsake your identity and to pick up a new identity because the environment was hostile to people that believed in Jesus. It will take faith for you to retain your identity under such circumstances. Moses was able to live in the deception of accepting the identity that circumstances conferred upon him. But the Bible says, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In this day of compromise, it's always easy for you to take the easy side, even if you need to cast away your true definition. But you see, the call to faith, it's a call to cast off every form of security you have gotten from deception. As long as the guy accepted that he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he didn't need to ask for school fees for the university. Aligning with that deception afforded him some kind of breakthrough. And if it was the God of breakthrough that he served, he would have come to that point and he would have been given testimony. It was not about breakthrough. It was not about operating in an atmosphere of convenience where your needs can be met, where you can have 3 square meals, where you can have something to ride. The first thing that your faith will do is to insist that you sustain your true identity in spite of the benefits that you have derived from sustaining a false posture which is not consistent with your destiny. It became a very strong act of faith those days for you to still be bold about Jesus when my uncles took over the saddle of running the family. And your boldness to say you are following Jesus will impact upon the support you will get for school. I remember when I left BSU here to go to Abuja to look for support. I spent 300 naira to Abuja as transport. And my uncle gave me 400 naira to come back. I was worse off when I came back. And that was the trip I made that they stopped me on the bridge, 12 midnight. The conductor said, your money, they run like meter. It don't finish. They stopped, they dropped me on the bridge. I can show you the spot. Every time I cross the bridge, I remember that pillar. There's a pole there. That was a place that I alighted from the bus, and I vow that I will never cross that pole to Abuja again until I finish university. You will need faith to reclaim your identity. I don't know what has taken your identity from you. Are there circumstances that you feel is so superior to you that you must make obeisance under the allowance that is provided therein? It will take faith for you to rediscover, reclaim your masculinity. By faith, when Moses came of age, he refused to be called what? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. The implication of this is decision. You will find this in the next verse. Yes? The implication of that is that he's going to suffer affliction with the people of God.
Now, so somebody's here, maybe you are here, and you're saying, I've been praying for long, nothing has happened. Shut up. Faith will take you through a process. And in this process, it's a gradual process of the renewing of your mind to accept new set of preferences. That's when you will discover that you didn't even need a car. You will discover many more times that you don't even need to be liquid. Because without liquidity, there's no cash in your pocket for the past 2 weeks. You will discover you survive without a note in your pocket. Has it ever happened to you before? And life goes on. God is pointing your heart to what true priority is. When God wants to raise a champion, he will bring you to the point of knowing what true priority is. God is not willing to give you ability if he has not given you purpose. So he will streamline your access to ability in terms of anointing, in terms of funding, in terms of influence, sometimes even in terms of admission to the university. Because he wants to teach you what is really important. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. This was also an act of faith. He had a choice which would have guaranteed his prosperity. In order for him to fulfill God's mandate, he needs to take up a different identity that will give him a different set of circumstances. Do you understand that? He accepted the second option. In this day of compromise, it is very easy for you to see the weakness of believers. And for many years, we as a body have dwelt in so much compromise just because we want a better outcome in terms of circumstances and situation. Destiny is superior to what you experience in your circumstances. A man destined to be king can be in a situation once in his life where he has no shoes. Have you heard the story of Goodluck? The fact that he had no shoes did not affect his destiny as a king. Many of us think that circumstances and destiny are on the same level. God will begin to teach you priority and teach you wisdom. Then you will know that some things are temporary and some things are eternal. He will give you an understanding of the value system of heaven so that your scale of measurement and interpretation of realities will be consistent with this new education that God is bringing to your notice. You need to be enlightened of God to be able to interpret suffering accurately. Just like Paul, they stoned him to death. The disciples gathered around him, prayed for him. He came back to life. And the same city where they stoned him, they went back to continue their mission. Now it means that that man did not consider his persecution as anything that was worthy of upholding. You can never operate the way Paul operated if you are not educated by God. Okay, imagine Peter. They gave him 39 stripes, him and John, and threatened them never to speak again in the name of Jesus. And right there in that meeting, they say, "Ye judge ye yourself." They are not normal men. That state they operated. In fact, when they came out of that assembly of affliction, they even began to give glory to God that gave them the opportunity to be partakers of the sufferings of Christ. That is not a man you can break. You can't break them. Because they knew that in choosing Jesus, these afflictions are also supplements that have been added to that pathway that God will apportion to them in the making of great men. And if you don't fulfill the school, and you jump something, you escape something, your destiny will still come. But on the altar of your destiny, you will not be able to survive the intricacies and the complexities that you are going to find expression. Are you with me? You are not with me. Let me give you an example. Somewhere along the line,
in ministry, when I was still working in the oil industry, me and my wife just had, we had 2 years in marriage when I got posted from Makurdi to Lagos. All right? Just 2 years together. And I got posted to Lagos. She came with me, and after 1 year or so, she found out that, Kai, man, her life was in Makurdi. Because we were Rolling Stones. The only trouser you wear is jeans. You wear jeans for 7 years. Think about it. Because we were engineers on the field. That job doesn't, there's nothing like Sunday, Saturday, as long as they use fuel in the filling station, it means somebody worked that day. So we work every day of the week. Do you understand that? It's the kind of job that is designed to make you spiritually dry. Are you with me? Alright, so when my wife assessed the situation, I said, go back to your people. She came here. And meanwhile, I was an official that was very sensitive to doing things the way it should be done. And in some cases, when you do things the way it should be done, somebody will lose 50 million. So I told her that there's persecution, there's debt in this work. Let your face not be associated with me. It's a problem. Go back to your people. So she left me. And I didn't know it was training. That decision that I made for my wife to go back to Makurdi, and this is where she knows people. This is her life is here. Right? That decision. It exposed me to many things. The first thing it exposed me to is that when you want to stop corruption in a place, in a certain sector, and they see that you are not greedy, right? They bring money. You have capacity over money. Because they believe that men have one weakness. So this one, in the area of money, you can't buy him. The next area is women. The type of women that is as if they brought them from leather bag. But you see, you are not with me. You are not here. The decision Moses took had attendant consequences, and the consequences were affliction. But he considered that affliction a joyful engagement. The reason why he had that disposition, the Bible says, is because of faith. These afflictions are the trainings that God brings to a man of faith, so that when they your training and your manifestation are two different things in your life. That my wife leaving was an opportunity for me to be trained in terms of being disciplined with women. And the training lasted for 7 years. Are you with me? Don't worry, I will tell you the whole story. All kinds of women, they will send them to you. The place you are working to regulate is that place that arranged that woman to you. Yes. You know how I survived? I fasted for 7 years. There was no appetite. And God was looking at me. He didn't help me. Now I know why. Today, I preach in various nations. It's when you go out of Makurdi, you go to Benin Republic, you will notice that there is a way God created them, that they are different from Nigeria. The concept of beauty will shift because the environment has shifted. If you move to Togo, you will note your idea of beauty will change. If you start going to Europe, so God knew that my destiny had to do with traveling around the world. He posted me to Lagos, allowed me to be posted to Lagos. There was a revival here. And he took me out of that revival. Allowed me to languish in Lagos for 7 years and learn discipline with the opposite sex. That was training. God knows your future. So there are some afflictions he will allow so that you can grow to become a prince. And this process is still part of your faith experience. Many of you take off like tornado. When you are in this part of the process, you take off and say, no, you are just delaying your possibility. And it happens to be that your pilgrimage through this life is time-based. Immortals don't know time. Time is only relevant to us that are in this side of heaven. So you don't have time to waste. 7 years. God that is in a hurry to win souls, was not in a hurry with me if I had not mastered the women matter. 7 years. Suddenly you begin to see
I don't want to go into details. There are some corporations that are very organized. Post me there. You begin to see women. What is happening here? When I reject one, reject two, reject three, they will stop for 2 weeks. They will change those ones, bring two new ones. The reason is because I refuse corruption. So they will look for a place to catch you. Maybe there is a camera in the office there, so that when you try something, they will say, "Hey, Pastor, we have." You see, this thing looks like you. And you know the message. It means from there, when they say, "Come and change the figure from 13 to 30 for 7 years. And it was a choice that led to that exposure of training. That was the kind of thing that Moses had to go through. Hallelujah. Now, there are some processes that God will take you through that will help the building of your faith. Because you will need the help of God on a daily basis to survive that atmosphere. So you will need to seek God's help. You will know that going by your own strength, you cannot survive. So you will seek God's help. It will make you more intimate with God. It will make you more prayerful. That's the life of a man of faith. And meanwhile, God manipulated into your circumstances. You think you are preparing for work so that you will live pure to Him. Huh? But it is part of the training that is necessary for your kind of manifestation. Is that clear? Next verse, quickly. Next verse. This was the dealing that God has registered in His heart. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and the treasures of Egypt. Every man of faith in the book of Hebrews, whose account was captured, the reason for which they did what they did, the Bible incorporated it so that you can relate with what was going on in their heart that gave them the impetus to prosecute life at that level of logic. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. It means that he was convinced that if he was faithful in that cause, there was going to be a reward. When will it come? He didn't know. Hallelujah. He knew. This was his motivation. Next verse. By faith, eventually he had to forsake Egypt. And when he forsook Egypt, he was declaring war against the king. But he did not fear the wrath of the king. And then the Bible says he endured. It's not enough for you to take a decision for God. We will know that you are a man of faith if you endure in that decision. You understand that? A lot of people took decisions for God that they did not have endurance to back up. That's not faith. That's talk. The Bible says, for he endured. This is the first thing that God showed me about walking on your faith. The Bible says he endured. Why? Because he saw him who is invincible. The first thing that God does to you to help your faith that is ailing is that he gives you an encounter. He makes that which is intangible. Through an encounter, it transmits the reality of the intangible and makes it real to you. So today I need to tell you the story of what I saw that gave me the impetus to believe that we could prosecute Festival of Glory. Great feats of mighty men of faith are done because they see the invincible. He forsook Egypt, and that was tantamount to treason. Meanwhile, he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. When people came to counsel him that they go look for you, he didn't change his conviction. The Bible says he yet endured. And what the people that were coming to counsel him did not know was because he had seen him who is invisible. So when God wants to help your faith, what he does is that he begins to sponsor fresh encounters. Fresh encounter. Fresh. One day we did something like a night vigil and I went to sleep. And in the midst of that sleep, I saw a mighty angel. And the tall guide was telling me that this angel was going to go ahead of me into Festival of Glory. When I woke up from that sleep, I knew that it was God showing me the reinforcement that has been made in the spirit. He said, this one will go ahead of you. Meanwhile, the funding had not yet come. We only had the ability to pay for the venue.
and to make publicity materials available. For 8 years, we've been buying equipment, so we have equipment. For 8 strong years, we've been buying and accumulating equipment, and all the other details of logistics, of all of that, and all of that. We didn't know where the money would come from. But he showed me, he said, this one will go ahead of you. It was after that encounter when I rose up in the morning, money began to come. And we didn't make any advertisement for anybody to make donations for that project. It happened supernaturally. I found out that if there's a man that is present that believes God, he gives God the permission to begin to walk upon the face of the earth. I was convinced beyond doubt that we had what it took to prosecute that crusade. The money began to come. To do a crusade of that scale, you are not going to spend anything less than 10 million for your information. The last one we did was 13.3 million. The stage we're standing on for how many days? 5 days was 2.7 million. And we paid the man up front. That's the first ministry that paid him up front. The others don't even pay. They use it and then they escape. So when we paid him up front, he had to travel from Abuja to come see the pastor that paid for his stage up front. And for 4 days on the crusade ground, he never saw me preach. I was not the guest speaker. I come and so he now said, Can I talk with this man? So they arranged our talk. Then the pastor now said, the guy now said, who are you? Because I told our team, what I need is one night. It doesn't take God eternity to do what is eternal. Just one night. What I have in mind is to make Jesus known, such that if you don't know Jesus, you are old fashioned. And it will happen in this city. Oh, all the possibilities that are bound with the presence of Jesus when he's exalted. The inhabitants of this city will see it, and it will become old fashioned not to know Jesus. I now found that if I can trust God, I give him an opportunity for him to stretch forth his hand. But your ability to trust God to some levels is impossible without an encounter. Strange angels began to visit. Oh my God. Oh my God. You see, as I'm speaking about it, they are beginning to visit again. Angels are visiting. God will give you an encounter that will make it easy for you to believe him. Once upon a time, there was a politician in Benue State here. Then I used to work at the depot. So somebody that used to attend our prayers now brought the politician to see me at the depot. And I was doing a long fast, 100 days, and praying and seeking the face of God. And then this politician was coming. And then I saw a cock crow. That was the vision I had. A cock began to grow. And the cock had this, you know that, what they call that thing? What? Comb. A very mighty red comb. And the cock began to grow. And then they walked into my office. Then, while they were trying to sit down, I was asking God, what is this vision? He said, what you saw there was a crown. That this one has been crowned for political office. And even though it looks as if she has lost, she had been declared winner from heaven. So I told her, you have a calling into leadership. God has proclaimed you winner from heaven, but the circumstances are proving contrary. Fight this thing in court and you will win. Meanwhile, she was already broken and say, they won. That was the courage she had to go to court. And she won. And you know, when they win, they'll run away. Don't cast your lots with. Run away. Then another election came. Person saw her face and said, we're back. And I said, you don't have any political appointment. You will not win an election in this dispensation. But you will have an appointment. And you know, politicians don't like that one. They want you to say, carry go. So that person went and contested and lost. Hallelujah.
I know you like seeing those kind of visions. But if I tell you the process it took for the voice of God to be clear, most of you will run away. Hallelujah. I had already gone through the process and God was beginning to teach me other things. He was beginning to teach me how to manifest. It was God that taught me about the healing anointing. It was God that taught me about the prophetic, how to receive the word of the Lord. I had no teacher. He taught me. It was God that taught me how to teach. Teaching today. The things God will do to you when it is time for manifestation is different from what He will do to you when you are going through training, preparation. As I speak, angels are coming. Give me volume there. Oh my God. You see, the Bible says He endured. The reason why He endured was because He saw Him that is invisible. Part of what He does to you to help your faith is that he comes, He appears. He shows you that which is invisible. And the portrait of those visions will be so tangible that if you want to walk against it, it will be impossible. He will encounter you. He will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Some of you, from tomorrow, from this night, the series of encounters, it will begin. Ancient ones, changing me and changing you. I saw an angel of the Lord, and it leaned over like this. The angel leaned over, and I could see that there was someone that was sleeping. And the dreams that the person was dreaming, it was this angel that was responsible for those. What has happened now is that God has released an angel, and there's somebody here, right? You are going to have a series of encounters. Just in case, I know you might doubt me. Because of the possibility of doubt, I will ask the Lord something. Lord, the one that you have chosen, that you begin to have encounters with, show me a sign so that the people will believe. Let your anointing descend upon that vessel. Let it come strong upon that vessel. Let it come stronger on that vessel. And I beheld and I saw heaven. Heaven open. Among us here, you have been laboring for a very long time in the presence of God, and God is saying,
I add to your life the ability to teach the scriptures. Ancient world,
ever true, changing me,
and
blessing you, let my open heart, oh, let me enter.
In the congregation, and I see that you have this pain on your left leg. Left. If you are the one I'm talking about, you can stand up. Left leg. The Lord will heal you in a moment. Now listen. Three crowns fell from heaven. And I asked, what is this? He said, it belongs to three prophets. Such prophets that will prophesy. And at the count of 1 to 7, the crowns will fall on them. Show me a sign. Show me a sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One of you, either prof, pastor, evangelist, you or you, I see somebody giving a wallet of money. You are about to have a financial miracle, but I can't tell who it is because I missed it. You can actually see the invincible. Based on that which you have seen, you will begin to act. That's how mighty things happen. And so when God wants to help your faith, he shows you what is invisible. Yes. Can you check that your leg, if it's still... You can check it. If you still feel the pain, keep standing. If you don't feel the pain again, you can sit down. Keep standing as long as you are still feeling the pain. Oh my God, there's a wave. Ancient world.
an angel, highly inflamed, moving with a fire. Anytime I see this angel, it means there is a chain, there is a shackle that is about to break in the life of someone. A yoke is about to break. A yoke is about to break. A yoke. A yoke, a yoke, a yoke. A yoke is about to break. A yoke is about to break. I command that yoke, break! A relative of yours. This relative is from your in-law, not from among your siblings or your direct relatives, from the in-law's angle. And I see that this in-law of yours has gone on a trip, and part of the items of this trip is to take you, to report you to someone that has spiritual abilities for the purpose of affliction. Listen to me. That in-law of yours comes down in the month of March. 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 This person I'm talking about will be given a lot of space from God to repent. The person keeps going back to the wickedness. March. Now the heavens are opening so fast now. Oh my. Can you make a request? Not for yourself, but for your family. Just a request. A request. Look for someone in your family and invest this prayer and say, you, this year.
confess that prayer. Invest that prayer. My soseni kento mahaito. Risco pela mente. Pule masila mama kore. Senye sulta.
Two quick things. First quick thing, if you are trusting God for the foot of the womb, ask Him now. Where you are standing or sitting, ask Him now. Now. Ask Him now. Ask Him now. Selino. Yes. You are trusting God for marriage. Ask Him now. Ask Him now. Right now. Right now. Pour your heart now. Pour your heart now. Your heart now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, there is one of the people outside. The fire of the Holy Spirit will come upon you in the moment of time. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's coming already. It's coming. Alright, the fire of the Holy Ghost will come upon you in a moment of time. It will come upon you in a moment of time. And that will be the end of the cycles. The end of the cycles that you have been going through. The cycles will come to an end. Lord, I ask, show me a sign. If you find that person, ushers, let me have the person. So that I can prophesy. The hand of God will come upon you. It will come strong upon you. It will come strong upon you. It will come strong upon you. Yes. It will come strong upon you. So strong. So that the cycles can break. Help me hold it. Listen to me, listen. Those of you outside here, there's one of you I'm looking for, because the Lord wants to end the cycle around your life, and the hand of God will come so strong on you, so strong, you can't resist it. It will come so powerfully upon your life, and a cycle will end this night. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you look upon these ones and show me that one among them that you want to help. Let your hand become intense upon that vessel that you want to help. In the name of Jesus, let it be intense. Be intense. So you can help me. To end. Yes, let the cycles end in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Make demands tonight on heaven. Oh my God. The pattern ends. It ends. I make demands on heaven concerning every family that is represented in this place and families that are represented online, that you will stretch forth your hand. If there is any resistance in any of the families represented, let your strong hand uproot that resistance in the name of Jesus. Uproot the resistance in the name of Jesus. Uproot the resistance in the name of Jesus. Someone is coming out. It's coming out from. Yes. Come out. In the name of Jesus. It's coming out. It's coming out from where you were kept. Grace is given unto you. Grace is given unto you. Oh. 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 Oh.
Salamonda, Iko Paramasi, Brote Keskuta Manso Saleto Kuria. Coming out in the name of Jesus Christ. Ancient ones, ever true.
Something, maybe you missed it previously, you will not miss it again. The Lord will surprise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Celebrate.